Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Sphere of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Lift your hands, everyone, and just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless him. He deserves all gratitude. He deserves all praise. Blessed be your holy name. Lift your hands where you're standing and honor the one who lives forever and ever. Bless him. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's none to be compared to you. There's none like you. You are God all by yourself. And we just honor you. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Who is excited to be in church? Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you. So last week we started the series Isaac and Samuel. Okay? In other words, we are saying two kinds of product. Okay? Two kinds of product. Isaac was a product of a kind of waiting, and Samuel also a product of another kind of waiting. So what we did last week was to examine the progenitors, separated Abraham and separated Elkanah. Right? Good. And by the time we placed the both of them on the weighing scale, we observed that it is even an insult to compare. Okay? So today we want to weigh two similar individuals on the weighing scale, and that's the person of Sarah and the person of Hannah. Okay? But today we're not going to be going the route we went last week. All we're going to be doing this week is that I'm going to be speaking to Sarah's and I'm going to be speaking to Hannah's. I'm going to be speaking to individuals with two kinds of waiting. Is that okay? Good. So I'll be speaking to Sarah's, I'll be speaking to Hannah's. So let's turn our Bibles. Let's do a bit of comparison as we check the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, are you there? Let's start the reading from chapter 1, and then we see where we go from there. Amen. So let's start. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. All right. From verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramah, of Mount Ephraim, And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tou, the son of Zuf, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. And the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. You see, we've seen different kind of dust rise in this generation that we did not imagine will rise. We didn't know that a time will come that people will use the Bible to justify polygamy. So let me answer the question. And in fact, I was, what word should I use? I was shocked when one of my boys uploaded a video where I was talking out, saying out that the Bible does not endorse polygamy. And I was shocked that the only person there who was arguing with it was a pastor. You cannot use the Bible to endorse a weakness. You can't import scriptures to justify something. The Bible has its own flow of thought. We come to that level, we don't bring it to our level. Okay? One of the ways doctrines are established in scripture is to check patterns. When God made Adam, he didn't give him two, he gave him one. That's the pattern. You go to the person of Noah, it was one. Okay? You go to Abraham, it was one. When he went to pick house girl, that's when problem came. Are you with me now? Later, you know, you check the patterns, the flow of scriptures. We don't import things to justify heresy. The Bible is clear. Is that okay now? Good. So there are things that were mentioned in Bible as we read storylines. That is not God endorsing those things, but that is the Bible saying they happened. The same way, it is not everything you will read in stories that God approves of, but they happened. Is that simple enough? Very important. All right? So look at it. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Yes? So, verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And adversity provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. All right? And he did so year by year when she went up. Sorry? And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Look at verse 8. Then Elkanah said to, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weep you? Why eat you not? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So she was, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept so. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul to the Lord. All right, so we are seeing that, let me identify three things that was happening. Okay? She was waiting for something she did not have, but the other woman had what she was waiting for. Okay? And the fact that Anna had no child yet gave the other woman the reason to provoke her, to taunt her. You see, Peninnah was doing the exact same thing that the devil likes to do. The devil is an opportunist. There are things he wants to say to you, but you will not believe now. So he will wait for the situation that will make you believe. Let me give you an instance. Let's assume that the devil really wants you to believe. Okay, let's take the case of Elijah. You will know that the devil has been looking for a way to afflict him and to say things that will damage his heart, things that will, you know, prick his soul. But the devil had no occasion to say that. So what the devil did was to wait for the time that Jezebel spoke some very heavy words that will open the door for him to now believe. The devil waits for people, waits for situations to get at you. Then the door is open. Then he can say the things he's always wanted to say. For instance, in the case of Adam, the moment they ate the fruit and they were both naked, when God came, he said, "Who told you that you are naked?" This is not the kind of nakedness you'll be aware of by yourself. This is the kind of nakedness that you come into the consciousness through a statement. They could not... Are you with me? Are you sure? Should I stay on the surface or should I go deep a bit? All right. So, there was no way anyone... They could believe that they were naked unless that they have eaten it, and then that gives them the license to now believe anything the devil is saying. The same way sin gives the devil the opportunity to say to you what he has always wanted to say. And what he has always wanted to say is the fact that God has rejected you and there's no more hope. So, the barrenness of Hannah was the opportunity that Peninnah had to squander. And you have to get used to the fact that there are things you will lack that your neighbor will have. That's life. That you are in process doesn't mean you are better than your neighbor. And it doesn't mean you are worse. You are just in process. The reason why you need to hear what I've said again is because if the devil can't stop you from doing what is right, it will get you to be proud in the process. That is, you come out of the situation and you begin to use your waiting process as the yardstick for what you have. That is, you look at people and say, "Look at you. What have you gone through? Let me tell you what I have gone through in the hands of the Lord." So that you can know where we came from. The fire that processed us is the fire that processed gold in heaven. I'm going to get there tonight. Are you with me now? The moment some things are not coming on time, then you begin to hear what the devil has always wanted to tell you. You start gisting with you. You are not better than your fathers. All these Christianity things you are doing is a waste of time. Scam. Scam. Okay? Look at your life. What's the difference? Your brother, who is in the village, worship and Madioa. What makes you different? He has car, you don't have. He has his own house, you don't have. The devil will say all manner of things. And that's why we must raise believers who are deeply rooted, who have come to know God beyond things. You must know him and judge him faithful beyond things. Beyond physical result, getting somewhere. Now, I want to tell you what waiting is and what waiting is not. Waiting is not just the passage of time while trusting God for something. That is, it cannot be said that you have waited because time passed and certain things have not come. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying over there? The fact that the thing did not come on time doesn't mean you have waited. That doesn't mean you have waited. First and foremost, some things takes time. If you just finish I don't want to use that. Let's assume somebody just finished a process and something has not opened up yet. You are not waiting yet now. Turn your Bibles now. Ecclesiastes 3. Look at it. Ecclesiastes 3, 11 and 12. Ecclesiastes 3, 11 and 12. If you are there, say amen. Okay. Look at it. He has made everything beautiful in his time. What that simply means is that the day you plant a seed is not the day it will grow, sir. Just understand where you are in the time chain. That's it. Just understand where you are. It's not the way you plant a seed that it will grow. Some things take time, naturally. You have not started waiting. This is just the time it takes. Okay? Hello? Are you with me? In the Nigeria of today, the moment you finish university, except you have serious qualifications, serious connections, plus the first class, or strong 2-1, there's a slight chance that the moment you are done, you are going to wait for a while they are processing this here and there. It's not waiting yet. It is just the time it takes for that thing to crystallize. So the fact that something has not happened, don't throw yourself into a waiting room that, you see, we are the ones who are waiting on the Lord. No, this thing takes time.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Is it simple enough? Yes. Naturally. Okay, for instance now, when a woman goes to the hospital and finds out that she's pregnant, then imagine the woman after 3 months now say, this baby has not come. No, this one takes 9 months.
That's right.
And one of the things parenting has taught me is that, you have to be patient. First, you wait and wait and wait for the child to be born, then the child is born. Then you wait a few more months for the child to see and recognize you. You wait. Then you wait a few more months again for the child to be able to respond to you when you make some jokes. You wait. You wait for the child to sit. You wait. You wait for the child to start crawling. You wait. You wait for the child to start standing. You wait. For the child to start walking, you wait. The talk takes time small. You wait longer before they will call the first daddy. While that process is going on, that is not delay. That is the time it takes. You must understand the time it takes for what you are doing to crystallize. That is not delay. Is it simple enough? So that by the time you are in that process, you will not be hard on yourself and feel that your world is crashing, why are things not going well for me? And by the way, we all don't have the opportunity to start at the same point in life. So, some of us are going to go on a longer journey than the rest of us. For instance, the time it will take for the one who had parents, who had everything ready for him to climb up, is different from the time it will take for the one who is starting from the bottom. Understand where you are starting from, sir. Okay? And don't compare yourself with somebody who has leverage. Some people, they are the third generation of people who are climbing up in their family. You are trying to be the first generation. While you are trying to climb up, even those who gave birth to you, you have to still support them. You can't compare your life with them. What I'm saying is that, please, both of you come. If we are putting these two men, all right, to run this race, please face them. Okay? And then we bring this one here.
to run, and this is the destination they are running to. Okay? It will be unfair for him to think that because this one gets there first, he's faster. Listen to what I'm telling you. Sometimes somebody here can be running at 60 kilometers per hour, and this one here is running at 200 kilometers per hour. This one is most likely going to get there first because he has shorter distance to cover, but this one has more speed. You must understand. The fact that people, are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't judge your speed by who gets there first. Check the pace you cover. Some things take time. I mean, having gone through all the things you've gone through, survive what you have survived, to come here and judge yourself and say, my life is just slow. Is that how the rest started? Who is there to support you? Who is sending you? I was hearing one of the billionaires in Nigeria, one of the foremost guys, who said that his uncle, was it Donald Trump, even said what I said, his dad borrowed him a small amount of something, $1 million, small amount. Are you following what I'm saying here? I think we need to recognize people's hard work, not just their result. Yes, sir. Mm. We must have a culture that celebrates effort also. Yes, sir. Mm. Okay? Because if we only celebrate result, people will jump process, and since the result is what we recognize, and get that result and say that effort is nothing. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes, celebrate yourself, you have tried. Thank you, sir. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes, so in the same light, that's the way light is. Life is. Two people can be getting married, friends, the same Saturday, across different states, but they have different leverage. You must understand your own starting point and where you are. But one thing is very certain. There is a God who gives grace to those who wait on him. I said there is a God who gives grace to those who wait on him. You will not crash. Maybe I don't have the right audience. But I say again, you will not crash. And because while you are in the process, the devil keeps reminding you where others failed. You will not stop there. You will go far ahead. You will become the first generation of excellence. You become the first generation of genuine result. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, listen to this. You will know what it means to be fulfilled in life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You won't vanish halfway like smoke. Amen. God will preserve you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, sit down for a while. One of the things God does is that while we are in that process, and some things ought to take 10 years, some things have to take 20 years, some things have to take 15 years. Sometimes it gives us boosters. One contact. One access. One door. Just boosters. And you discover that sometimes you are seeing 10 years remaining. And God just gives an advantage. And you are seeing 3 months to go. Amen. Hallelujah. God is going to give you speed.
Hallelujah.
You must look forward to it. Like I said, today's Bible study is more of me ministering to those who are having two kinds of waiting. Okay? So it's not just us comparing, but also ministering to the spirit of those who are weary because of waiting. God gives boosters. He does. He does. It does. It does. It would have taken David, only God knows when, to get to the palace. But God said to Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. That was a booster. And sometimes the booster comes as an activity of the enemy. And the enemy thinks that they are destroying you, but what they don't realize is that they are pushing you faster towards your promise. Like the case of Joseph. They thought they were selling him. But Joseph said, hey, the Lord sent me ahead of you, all right, to prepare the way for you. He recognized that. God is giving you boosters.
Yeah.
One of the entry points of discouragement is that the devil is able to convince you that this is the time it will take. Your times are not in his hands. Your time are in God's hands. They are in God's hands. They are not in the hands of the devil. He cannot tell you how long it will take. Are you following what I'm saying? The situation that you are going through, the pain has opened door. I know. Many voices are coming. When, what's her name? The girl, the servant girl of Sarah. When she gave birth first, you saw what she did. She began to insult, despise her mistress. There is a very high tendency in life that when you get result early, you may not know how to talk. Okay? You may not know how to talk. You may just feel, you see, it's just about positioning. It's just about knowing how to position yourself well. Young ladies, just make sure that you dress well. Have your makeups on. Be at the right place at the right time. This, that. That's somebody who has no report. That thing you are talking is trash. When you find real report, you'll understand that answers to prayer when it comes to marriage goes beyond fine face. And it goes beyond beautiful Instagram pictures. God makes everything beautiful in its time. Are you with me? People can see you and still not see you. But when the time is right, the time is not just the moment. Mm-mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What you are seeing is time as the moment. No. What God is calling the time is the season. You can be in a season. Let me have five guys. Quickly. Can I have Pastor Joker, please come? This is a season. Where, please stand there. Just stand there. Thank you. Face us. All the people coming around this season are wrong. And yes, we are coming. But here is another season where the one is passing. And this is God. This one is the right time, not because of what the clock says, but because of what it brings. Your time comes with your people and your resources. It's not the moment. It's not calendar. It's not Kronos. It's Kairos. Pregnant moment. If you are under pressure, you see, now that all these guys are passing around this time, a time come that they will seize. That's good news if the wrong one sees. If it is not God, it is not time. Amen. Lift your hand and say again, say, God makes all things beautiful in its time and season. Do you understand that illustration? Give Jesus a big hand. Thank you. So, it is not everybody that have a result that can have your ears. But you check the report. Hebrews 11 from verse 1 to 3. Quickly. Now look at the Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good what? A report. So, I think I've shared this story before. I was in GSS 1 or so. I mean, when I left primary school, I used to try. But when I got to secondary school, I stopped trying. Okay? Somehow, I think I came 33. Out of about 35 or 36. Amen. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, pay attention to this illustration. So, I didn't know how I was going to take the report card home. My dad will check it. And you tell him that after paying all the amount of money they paid for school fees, this is what you can come with. So, I thought to myself, this is 33rd. Let me cancel 1/3. And I did. I canceled. I just got Tipex, and I just erased 1/3, and I just made it in a way that it will blend so that all my dad needed to do was to turn the report card the other side. There the real report was glaring. Experience, though. So, now, hold on a minute. So, but what I did not know was that I was more concerned about the result as stored. But there are many reports that makes the result valid. For instance, how can you have red in math, red in English, red in elementary science, red here, and red in all those things? Then suddenly you have taught. In the same light, how can you have red in patience, red in character development, rest in prayer, red in all that, and yet have the result? The reports of the things you passed are more important than the ultimate result. While waiting, were you patient? Did you become more kind? Did you learn to be more loving? Did you learn prayer? Did you learn fasting? Did you learn the word? It is not just about the result. There are many reports that adds up to give us the result. So there are things that God wants us to carry while we're in process. Say, I hear. Anywhere there is genuine waiting, there will be character. Nothing is more humbling than doing everything you know to do and not seeing the result you want to see. Ah! It's humbling. It's humbling. It's humbling. I think we're having a minister's conversation. I just want to chip this in because I know that I have a special calling to ministers and to raise leaders, you know. So one of my boys was asking me, I said, when you pastor a church and you are doing everything you know to do, and the church is not growing, nothing is responding, what else do you do? Well, sometimes you are doing the right things, but those right things must be done for a period of time. You are pouring water on the seed you have sown. Nothing is growing. You are doing the right thing. Wait. There's a time it will take. Hello.
Yes, sir.
It's not eat and run. It takes time. Takes time. And sometimes, till I say this, let me say it. Sometimes the answer to growth is not with you. Let me tell you something. When this church, a certain season last year, somebody just attended this church. I've missed those kind of settings. We need to have it again soon. After service, we just had lunch together as church. and we're talking. And a guy came to church. And the guy said to me, he said, I'm hearing your sermon. He said, it's like you don't know. He said, the whole city is coming to your church. He said, what I'm seeing here, I don't think you know what's going on the street. Very soon, you will have problem with space. I mean, when they say somebody gives you OT, that guy brought that. I heard him, and I heard God as he spoke. Jethro may not be a pastor, but if a pastor will succeed, you need to hear Jethro. Are you following what I'm saying? It is not everything that you see in the Bible. I read books on management. I read books on administration. I read books on businesses. I read books on governance. All right. When you get those, let me leave it. Are you following what I'm saying? Because let me show you a few things. While you are in the process for things to happen, understand that there are tests you must pass. And they mean so much to God. And they must mean so much to you. It is not enough that time is passing. Time can pass only to be wasted. What did I say? Time can pass only to be wasted. It is not passage of time. It is you getting right what God needs you to get right. Sometimes, in fact, many times, God is not the one occasioning delay, but is helping you take advantage of it. When the devil thinks they are afflicting you, they don't know that the devil oftentimes make the plans of God come to pass fast because he has darkened wisdom. So he doesn't know. He thinks they are afflicting you. Somebody, in fact, one time when David was running from Absalom, and I'm going to see teach about David and Absalom dealing with the root of bitterness. It's a topic I'm going to teach soon. Okay? The guy saw David was running from his son. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the lion himself, was running from Absalom. The guy stood from afar and was throwing stones at David. Was insulting, calling him names. He said, this, God is doing this to you because of what you did to the house of Saul. Abner and Joab are men that will not have to throw a spear twice. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? Yes, these are not normal guys. They don't need to throw a sword. Even if they do like this, the head is off. The guy said, let me fall on him. David said, no, allow him. Maybe God will hear him and look on my afflictions. I was hearing one of the pastors I respect so much. I think I shared this in Ibadan. And they asked him, how do you deal with offense? He said, and that's the most profound answer I've seen. He said, I see the sovereign will of God in everything. That is, if you look at me and begin to insult me and call me names, he said, I will just conclude in my heart that there's something God wants to deal with in my life. Has allowed you to do this to me. So he gave an example. He said, if you look at even David, he said, when Saul was trying to kill David, he said, that was God trying to help David to deal with certain things. Sometimes the time you were sane is the times the enemies were after you. And he said, what could not be dealt with in David then was what still went after Bathsheba and killed Uriah. Don't be quick to remove every stain. Sometimes it's God saying, take note. There's pride here. There's anger here. There's overconfidence here. Say, this is it. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you, in all honesty, some things are painful. But we grow. Grow. We just see through the smoke screens and understand. Okay? And understand. There are times that people do things to me. And I look at them, and I say, no, you are not this wicked. No, you are not. You can't be. This is the devil who hates me, trying to afflict me through you. Okay? I know you. I know who you are. And I know the person behind. You know the devil can wear pull like suit.
Yes, sir.
And when they have done what they are doing, they now wonder, did I just do this? Yes, they did. But it's not them. It's the devil. If you don't see life this way, you will play into the hands of the devil. And you'll be easily angered. I'm telling you, there are times you get to where your blessing is. The devil just wants to use a very funny person to frustrate you. Say, I refuse to be frustrated.
I refuse to be frustrated.
Say it again, I refuse to be frustrated.
I refuse to be frustrated.
How do I walk into a place, an organization, to get something done? Okay? And somebody just start looking at me, and look at me, and look at me. How is that my problem? No. How is that my problem? Have I urinated on my body? No. Am I your headache? No. Whatever it is, I'm not the victim. I'm just a beneficiary of your goodwill. I have 5 minutes to spend there. I will go. I'm not the victim. See, you must learn how to interpret life. If not, the devil will get you. But we are in this social media world. You know, somebody asked me, I said, how do you pastors deal with media criticism? Sometimes you say something plain, somebody will bring it from another angle. What do you do? I'm not the victim. You must learn how to set your face like a flint and keep doing the things you have to do. When you are at the top, you are the topic. Continue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't have to pause to answer everybody. And answer, you will drain yourself. Keep the energy. Put it on the progress. Think. At the level that God is bringing you to, you can't be thinking like a pauper. You have to think well. Think as one who is ministering to the world. Understand the devil will come at you at that level. Wake up.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If you are not being criticized, you are not doing enough. One of the announcements that you are beginning to try is that you'll be canceled. Tell anybody they try. Amen. Is somebody following what I'm saying here?
Oh, yes.
Let's do a bit of comparison. Are you with me? How do we describe the waiting of Hannah and the waiting of Sarah? Hannah was that woman who her husband has another wife and their children, and for some reasons the Bible didn't seem to give us a clue about her age. But from the description, it didn't look as though the Bible was describing a couple that were advanced. Okay? Because the kids of Peninnah were referred to as children. Maybe 2 boys, 2 girls. Maybe 3 boys, 2 girls. All right? But we know that somehow, these still seem to look like young couples. Okay? And Anna kept going to Shiloh. The husband was saying, I'm better than 10,000 children to you. Like I said the other time, scam. Okay? Maybe the guy could still go out and get more wives. Okay? Because he was not in the waiting process. If you link this to last week, he was not waiting. It was just Anna that was waiting. Okay? Some other time, I'm going to bring this out in the subject of marriage. Because you win the battle faster when it is 2 going through it, not 1. Okay? So she had to go and cry out to God. And she gave birth. But in the case of Sarah, as a matter of fact, the Bible had to give us an hint that it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. Let's look at it. Genesis. All right? Turn your Bibles there. The book of Genesis, chapter number 18. Let's start reading from Genesis 18. Let's start reading from verse 6. Genesis 18, let's start reading from verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes on the earth. And Abraham ran to the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man. And he hurried to dress it. And he took the butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree. And they did eat. I don't know what kind of meekness this is. How will the old Abraham be standing? He gets, please be eating, sir. That's the lifestyle they built. And they said to him, where's